And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
When I move, I'm not getting anything but real tissues. It's the new mandate. Real box of tissues, the soft stuff. You know, the ones that they put the cream in or whatever, the lotion. It puts the lotion in the tissue. I want some of that. I'm tired of, you see that? That's my ghetto toilet, my ghetto nose. Single ply, no less, single ply. Yeah, I'm a single ply kind of guy. Welcome to the Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. Let's see what I got. I got my ink done this week. So things are progressing. They're moving along. I think I mentioned last Saturday I had gone in that afternoon over to the local tattoo parlor, and I was told they were kind of busy, and I could see that they were kind of busy. So the proprietor asked me to come back on Monday, and I came back on Monday, and he was still a little busy, so I was like, oh. But he asked me to come back on Tuesday around the same time, and he got me in Tuesday night. It wasn't exactly around the same time, but he got me in Tuesday night. Nice guy named Lewis, real good, young guy, 30. I told him I have tattoos that are older than you, and he looked at me and he goes, yeah, you do. It sounds a little loud to me. Hang on. Let me knock this down a tiny bit. I might even take these cans off. I got no music tonight. I got nothing. So I went in and he started, you know, and I had a printout of the Black Rabbit of Inmate. And I had the sevens that I wanted, that I liked. They were old English sevens. I thought that was wildly appropriate. Old English sevens. You know, did the stencils and then moved them over. And then he was working because we were talking because, you know, I've been getting tattoos since I'm like 20, you know, so that's like 30 years. And it was a pretty big gap. I hadn't had any ink since 04. Yeah, somewhere around. So it's a long, long ass time, you know. Apparently the technology has really changed in the last 10 years because, you know, they don't use the big wire thing with the rheostat and the whole thing. It's got this wireless pack thing, you know, so I can just sit and he can just move around me, not having to worry about that wire, which is like really was a trip, you know. So let me see. I put it up on, it's up on my Facebook. It's up on my Instagram. I put it up on my Pinterest as well too. So it's up in a couple of few places. Like one day was super, super fresh. They're starting to heal up now. Let me see if I could, those are the sevens. Let's see if I could get all the sevens into the picture. Yeah, I can. If those of you who are on the video transponder, you can see those are the sevens. They're actually sideways because I can only keep my arm sideways. And the bunny, the rabbit, is right there. Let me move him in. Yeah, see him? Yeah, there he is. Red eyes and all. So marvelous job. The ink's going to stay really, really dark, which is really interesting because all the rest of my stuff is kind of faded. You know, this one's like long time. This was one of the first ones, this roast. So this was like 91. That's 30 year piece right there. So I was looking around to see if I could get anything to get the other ones to kind of pop a little bit more. I know I could get going and get stuff touched up, but when you have 10 other pieces, you're going to go to get 10 pieces touched up. You might, you know, to go in and not get new ink is like, you know, why am I doing this again? So I might, as a last resort, try to get things, you know, punched up. As far most of my stuff's black anyway, so but we see. I'm gonna start. I was looking around and this man, just like you know, I'm into you know, like shaving products. I think most of you know that about me. So there's like so many different types of, you know, shaving products, and then there's beard oils, and there's just such a market for this stuff. You know, but guys have turned into, like, you know, to chicks as far as all this stuff goes. So I was looking, and there's like 27 different thousand tattoo balm aftercare products. So I'm like, I don't know. So I did some reading, and I was going to go with shea oil. I was going to go with shea butter oil with this, you know, organic shea butter oil, you know, only from those free-range shea butters. And I decided there was a product there that seemed to do pretty well. It was actually one of the more inexpensive ones, and it seemed to do pretty well. It's a balm. It turns out it's made in China, but it's got all the right ingredients, and I didn't have an allergic reaction to it, which is good. Because this is, you can't see it, but it's starting to bump up and scale up a little bit, which is normal, you know, nothing to be worried about. But apparently I can use it on some of my older tattoos and maybe just get a little bit more, because it's all about moisturizing and you know, deep cleaning and all that crap. So I'm hoping, like I said, just to get a little bit more pop. Because if you look at the difference between what the rabbit and the rose, if you can barely see that on the edge of the screen, it's pretty tremendous. So, and, you know, I was thinking about telling him to just shade the rabbit, but the rabbit's got to be black because it's the black rabbit. It's not the black rabbit. Nobody's going to know it's the black rabbit. So I was like, all right, it's got to be black rabbit. So so I got that done, which is good. You know, that's there forever now, I understand, as they explained to me. I got a date. It looks like we're going to be leaving for Texas. We're going to pack up that weekend and leave of the 21st, which I think is that's May 21st, not April 21st, which is about a month from now. But I think I'm going to do, I'll probably, because when I look at the Saturdays, it looks to be like today was the 17th. So, you know, and if you look at it as a Saturday show or a Sunday show, it depends, I guess, on where you're listening. But the live show, so it's 18, 25, and the second. So I'll do two more after this, is what it looks like. And then I'm going to call it quits, because that'll give me, you know, about 3 weeks to get myself together for the packing and taking the studio apart and all that jazz. I'll try to get myself together as soon as I can when I get there, even if it's just in some rudiment form, to be able to put up a podcast, like these aren't simple anyway, but a simple podcast just to, you know, to kind of send a flare up. The best thing to do, I know I said this before, and my site was down once for like a week, okay? I know, I take responsibility for it. But when I do sign off on the second, the best thing to do is to start looking, you know, somewhere around maybe June, you know, like the second week of June, somewhere in there maybe. Just check back to the website. If you're interested in the programming and you've hung in there this long, it shouldn't be that big of a deal to take a little break and resume festivities, as it were, sometime in June when I get settled. You know, because there's a bunch of stuff to be done. You know, we don't even have furniture. We're gonna have to furniture to put the audio on. We have a basic setup when we get there. But we're going to be buying furniture. We're going to be buying a couple of desks, and we're going to be doing a rack, audio rack, a couple few other things, bed and frame that, you know, we can't really do until we get there because we're not 100% sure of the size that we're going to be dealing with. So, like I said, just check back to LF Midwood. And what I'll do is I'll also have I'll talk to John, and I'll have John mention that when I'm back. Yeah, I'll have him not mention that I'm gone, because he probably doesn't care one way or another. But I will have him mention when I return, so that there's another place that you could, you know, probably hear on a semi-weekly basis as to whether I've returned or not. It's a simple enough thing to do. Like I said, is to check the friggin' website. And if you're that curious, you can always drop me an email. You know, use the contact sheet on the website, or just drop me an email at lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. It's lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com, and I'll be able to give some sort of approximation as to what'll be happening and when. I find myself, I think I mentioned, I don't know whether I'm just hot. Am I running hot on the cans? Because I feel like super, super hot. Yeah, that's a little better. I've peeled back some of my meds in an attempt not to be a slug. Because all my meds are basically, all my psych meds are definitely sedatives. So I kind of stopped taking a couple of the key ones. Not everything. I can't stop taking everything. That would be a train wreck, as has been described to me from everybody involved. They just don't want that to happen. So that's not going to happen. But I do feel more anxious. I do, like I said, I definitely feel, and the Ambien's a big one that I stopped taking. So I'm having problems sleeping again, which I didn't have really too much for years because I was taking the friggin' Ambien. But I've stopped taking the Ambien, and I have problems getting to sleep now. So I'm like tired all the time. I'm like in a perpetual state of tiredness, which, I mean, it's only, hopefully, like I said, this is only only temporary. I'll get the move done. I'll get there. I'll unpack. I'll reapply for Medicaid. I'll get my Medicaid, and then I'll find a head shrinker and a counselor, hopefully rolled into one, but if not, I'll get my prescriptions rolling again to stabilize my mental illness. The mental illness needs to be stabilized. Yeah, I got that free range mental illness. But I'm a little, you know, like I said, I'm tired and I'm anxious, and there's one or two things that I found out that I'm not going to have to do, which makes life easier in regards to getting this done. There's still apprehension about the cats as far as, you know, making that cross-country trip with the kitties. And it's, you know, if it were easy, anybody could do it. I mean, I'm 100% sure of that. There's nothing here that makes me say, oh, you know, I've moved under a lot worse circumstances multiple times in my life, if I think about it. So this is not what I would call the end of the world. But I'm getting older, and I don't want to be doing this too many more times in my friggin' life. I just want to settle down as to wherever I'm going to be, and, you know, very much like Watership Down. Settle down where I'm going to be, and I want to stay there, and that's it. And screw the humans. So, anyway. You know, it's interesting. I look at that book, and looking back now, you know, first of all, to have that be, you know, one of your favorite books as a child, I think it's a little, you know, it's a little warped. It can explain certain, you know, things in adult manifestation and adult behavior, I think, you know, and adult attitudes, for sure. Yeah, but I look back at that book and I try to understand, you know, the gist of it. It really is more about the ecosystem in regards to, you know, wildlife and preserving wildlife and whatnot. That's my main big takeaway on it. Just that we're, you know, humans will destroy everything if they're given the opportunity. So it winds up being a really big green book in that sense. And I don't have a problem with that. I see don't have a problem with the idea of, like, green so much as, you know, when things get, like, totally radicalized. You know, like they're talking about a lot of what's going on with this Green New Deal, and a lot of this whole controversy is exactly what infrastructure is. You know, because this has been big in the news. The president is... President Mushhead is trying to, the Kaiser is coming, the Kaiser is coming. If you know where that's from, I'll give you a high five. So the President Mushhead there is trying to, you know, implement a lot of what was put forth in the, he's trying to appease the radical progressives in the fold there. And, you know, what I understand, like, roads, and I understand bridges. I get infrastructure, stuff like that. I get even maybe trains, you know, possibly, and not even huge, big time, but possibly a little bit into, if you're going to get serious about this electric car bullshit, you're going to need some more of these charging stations. I kind of get that. I mean, I don't like the idea, but I kind of get it. I understand that. But when they start talking about, like, people as infrastructure, I'm not quite sure what that means. And I'm pretty swift on the uptake. I've never been accused of being slow on the uptake. I don't know. I listen to the news and I try to understand. what was it the other day? Was it yesterday? I guess it was yesterday, yeah, because the producer went to the doctor yesterday and she brought back some muffins from friggin' Dunkin', right? So we're sitting there and she brought them back early, you know, and we both wanted to go back to sleep. So, but we put the news on and all that the news was covering was the Democrats yammering about, or some of the Democrats anyway, yammering about the pack in the court and moving it up to 14 justices. And it, I mean, it went on and on, and it just went on and on and on. And I'm like sitting here, and I'm like, real news, please. Somebody put some real news on. Apparently, every one of the news stations felt it was worth covering. So, and they did so for quite some time. So I was ad nauseum per se. But no, I'm not into obviously court, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think what Biden's doing with that is, I think he called for a 6-month commission to study the issue. And I have to presume that the Democrats, they want to get this green, you know, infrastructure bill through. They might even want to try and get another stimulus check through. There's like so many other things that they're probably going to want to do something about gun control. That's a whole other issue that we may or may not talk about a little bit later. They probably want to get something done on that. From what I've seen, the stuff that they did want to roll out on gun control, I think some of it was legislative, some of it was by executive order. I don't want to give up an inch on it, quite frankly. But it doesn't seem to be the radical "we're coming to take your guns" posturing right now, which is good considering, you know. So I'm quite sure there's lots of other things that they want to do before they worry about the court, you know. And I think if they wind up doing it, they're just gonna meaning pack the court and move it up to, they move it up to 14, that's gonna give them 5 justices. I think they, well, 5 plus the 3 is 8. Yeah, okay. Think about that for a second, you know, because we have what, 6 conservatives now, if you count John Roberts, and I'm not really likely to count John Roberts too much as a conservative anymore. I don't think I need to explain why, those of you who've been paying attention to some of these decisions. They're just going to turn it into a thing, and then I think right now, if they leave it the way it is, and I kind of always said this is really kind of weird, but I even said this when I was a liberal, is I kind of like there being a slight conservative lean to the court, because it kept the liberals from really being out of control. Because, you know, there are certain things that I guess the main thing would be marijuana reform or cannabis reform would be the big thing for me. Still waiting for that pipe, by the way. I'll let people know when that comes in, just save you making any inquiries. When I get it, I'll wind up picking up some nice weed from Massachusetts, and I'll wind up doing an on-air demo. We'll see how that goes. I'll get stoned on the air. I haven't done that in quite some time, at least when I've been in control. The LF at the controls, as they say. But yeah, definitely cannabis reform. And if I probably looked around, I could probably find one or two other things that I would say that I have maybe somewhat of a liberal, I wouldn't even call it more of a leaning, you know, some things just make sense to me. I'm at a loss to explain what those are right now, but I'm sure there's one or two other than cannabis reform. And I kind of like the idea of the court being the back check, in the sense of being more conservative in nature. Now you got to remember, it's been that way since Reagan. That was probably Ronald Reagan's, other than you know, his contributions to bringing down the wall in the demise of the Soviet Union. That would be his greatest contribution to America. And I kind of like that continuing. I like that kind of that balance that way, or that, if you wouldn't call it a balance, I kind of like that leaning that way. I think it keeps us honest, is what it does. I definitely think it keeps them honest more than anything else. Now, obviously, I'm, as I've mentioned ad nauseum, I'm certainly a lot more conservative than I used to be. I'm very far to the right. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I'd kind of be surprised. I'd even be shocked if even if it is something that they decide that they would want to do, because he's been against it. He said he wouldn't do it during his campaign runs. And I think a younger version of himself, there's footage of him saying that that would be a terrible idea. But if it were something that they would consider, I don't think that they would consider it until a second term, or maybe until Harris was sworn in, whichever comes first. Meanwhile, Harris has still not been down to the border, I don't think. But she's in charge. She was put in charge. It's hard to, she's running the taco stand. She's running the taco stand. She's in charge. She's calling up the Central American companies. Central American countries. Same difference. And making commitments. They're talking about giving money. They're just like talking about sending money, right? Did you hear this week? I've heard this in several different places. They're talking about, the United States government is talking about, instead of giving immigrants money, you know, illegals when they get here, illegal aliens, we call them immigrants, illegal aliens. Instead of giving illegal aliens money when they get here, they want to give illegal aliens money before they get here. So I guess they wouldn't be illegal aliens. Yeah, I guess they wouldn't be breaking the law. But the vast majority of people that I respect and listen to have all said that they'll just spend that money to get here, which makes sense. Which makes sense. You know, what are they like? I think there's like 6 million people in Nicaragua. So I don't know how much it would take to get them to all stay put. You know, I have no idea. But it just seems like a bad idea. I also heard that President Pumpkinhead is keeping the Kaiser is coming. The Kaiser is coming. is keeping all the caps the same as they were under President Trump's administration. And I think he did use the word crisis. I think the president has used the word crisis in regards to the southern border. I'm still drinking my I had Chinese food for dinner again. It's horrible. I'm eating so much time. I'm eating Chinese food like it's going out of style. It's ridiculous.
Hang on.
Mm-hmm. I love this stuff. I actually tried Monster energy drink. Too sweet. Way too sweet. Yeah, I didn't like what was going on there. Not at all. The Red Bull is just the right amount. It's not too sweet, just crisp, slightly bubbly. It's good stuff. What was I saying? So, yeah, he has used the word crisis in regards to the southern border. So I guess that's some sort of, I don't know if I would call it progress, but at least it's some sort of truth coming out of there, out of the administration for a change on that particular issue. It's interesting. The push for gun control is really going to happen. I think it was last night, night before last, there was a shooting at a FedEx facility. My understanding, limitedly following the story, there's so many of these stories, and I don't absorb like I used to. I'm not, you know what I mean? And I'm not that much on the news. I'm living my own little world, you know? I've been watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles again with the producer, because she's never seen them before. So getting heavy duty into some Terminator sci-fi. And I live in the little Midwood bubble. Boop. You know, I peek out every now and then just to get enough information to make my show reasonably interesting, or at least by my estimations, which are limited and minimal. I believe, I don't even know where it was, but I know it was a FedEx facility, and I know it was from a former employee, and I know the guns that were used, I believe they were rifles, the guns that were used were obtained legally. So this was just a dude who went postal, basically, an employee with a grudge, which is not uncommon. They're saying 45, I think I read somewhere out of the corner of my eyes, probably CNN, 45 mass shootings since President Mushy had his the Kaiser is coming. The Kaiser is coming. I'm gonna wear that one into the ground. Into the ground. Into the ground. 45. I mean, I don't. What qualifies as mass? You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to know. You know, we're talking like Bolsheviks mass. I mean, that's like, you know, mass. Mass. Is anything more than 2, 3? What? I don't understand. I don't know, you know, drive-by shootings technically, you know. these shootings in Chicago, right? So more than one, is that, I don't know. You know, those same shootings in Chicago that Black Lives Matter wants to have nothing to do with, by the way. Interesting. They're on record. They're on record saying, if we're only interested in the murder of black men at the hands of police. Right. They're on record. So I don't know what qualifies. I don't know that it's 45. I know, but in a couple few big ones, you know, or, you know, if we're going to say over five or six, there's been a couple of few of those, I know. The guns were retained legally. I don't really, unless we start getting into some sort of majority report, which is, those of you who are friggin' Vonnegut fans, I don't know what we're supposed to do. I mean, it would be easier to prevent these murders in Chicago than it would be to prevent the random white person murders, white people killing white people, mass shootings. I don't know. You know, I don't think taking guns away from legal people, you know, taking, and the only thing, there was one thing I have to mention again, you know, when I looked at the proposed legislation for the gun control stuff, those red tag laws. Again, or those red flags, excuse me. I always do that. I don't know why that is. Those red flag laws make me a little nervous about the idea of being able to take guns away from someone based on someone else's impression or testimony or that they may pose a threat. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. No, I could. I know how I feel about that. I don't like it. It doesn't matter. I don't know. That's fucked up. I don't think that should be, you know, if somebody hasn't broken the law, and they've maintained whatever clean citizenship status that they need to maintain in order to be able to partake of their First Amendment rights. Excuse me, no, Second Amendment rights. Yeah, I paid attention. Then yeah, I don't think that there should be shall not be infringed. It's four words. Shall not be infringed. That's it right there. You know, in regards to, I want to talk a little bit about this shooting, because I'm kind of annoyed, because, you know, I only talk to a couple of few liberals. I still have a few liberal friends, and I got my aunt, you know, and I've been sick. I think I've said I've been not feeling well, the last week or so, or prior week, and this week I felt a little bit better, although not great. I felt good enough to go get my ink done, so, but I'm trying to stay on some sort of schedule. I know about this shooting in central Brooklyn, Minnesota. From, again, what's been described to me, it sounds like a tragedy. The fact that, you know, she pulled the wrong weapon and she shot someone instead of using a taser. This is just, I'm not taking anything away from that. That's a major problem. You know, whether it was training or whether it was panning, this is someone who was an officer for 26 years. So I don't know. I would like due process. That's what due process is all about. I'm like, due process. Everybody's entitled to due process. Get that done. Investigation. Okay. But it seems to me that if the person who was being detained didn't resist arrest, then it wouldn't happen. It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, this is for some reason, this is like a key element that is now starting to get left out of all of these instances. Is that the person resisted arrest? It's like, well, why did you shoot them? You shouldn't just shoot them. It's like they're stopping cars and just shooting people. No, this particular person had several warrants out, including one, a weapons warrant, as well as, I think, the being caught with an unlicensed pistol during the summer, previous summer. So when you get, and not making the appearances on those warrants, you know, on those court dates. And so when you get, I would have to assume that when you get those types of warrants, that person's got to go to jail. You have to take them in. You just can't let a person like that wander around. And you also have to take a particular level of caution, because the person's been known to have been armed and presumably dangerous if they were armed, right? If you're armed, you're presumably dangerous. That would be my, you know, my take on that. So if what's his name? Mr. Wright? I think it was Wright? Dante Wright? I'm not saying it right. I don't speak Ebonics. If he had just, you know, basically just complied with the officers, he wouldn't be dead now. One way or another, he wouldn't have been dead. If he didn't put the officers in a situation where they had to detain him in that fashion or try to subdue him, whether it be a taser or whether it be a handgun, he'd be alive now. So he made a decision. He made a conscious decision not to comply to officers' commands. He tried to get away, and he was shot, and he died. I really don't feel that bad for the dude. I don't feel bad for any of these people that resist arrest. I don't. Because it's not okay. You know what I mean? There was this one guy. What was this guy in Virginia? This soldier in Virginia who was in uniform, I think, who was having a hard time with the police. And the police wanted him to come out, and he didn't want to come out of the car. And that turned into a thing because he wasn't complying on the grounds that he was afraid. Okay, I would be more afraid of the cops if I weren't, you know, because I don't know, why can't these... If I'm a black person, right? That's a big if. If I'm a black person, right, and I see what happens when people, black people, white people, yellow people, whatever color people, do not comply with officers' commands, I'm saying to myself, well, I'm going to roll the dice and I'm going to comply with the commands. I'm going to do the one thing that nobody else is doing just to see what happens. So it's difficult, you know, the people, and I use that term loosely, the people that are being held up as martyrs for the Black Lives Matter cause, they're all deeply, deeply flawed in the sense of most of them have just even, I was even having to come up with this guy in Minnesota a couple of years ago who got shot in the car with the kid when the kid was there. And he had a legal gun, you know, and he was telling him he was reaching for the legal gun, and the officer told him not to reach for anything, and he reached anyway, and he got shot. Why? Because he was reaching for a gun, because the officer told him not to. You know, it's like, is there a language barrier of some sort? You know, maybe the police officers need to be taught Ebonics. Maybe there needs to be a separate course on the language, you know, the grunts and whatnot that these black people are apparently emanating from their mouths as they're being pulled over. Maybe there just needs to be, you know, maybe there needs to be some sort of translators sent out with them, you know, so that there can be a translation between what the officer is saying and what the suspect is saying. You know, and I was just reading, this was really funny. People were like, oh, Dante Wright got killed because he had an air freshener thing on his rearview mirror, which is apparently... is not legal, is illegal, I guess the term is, in 21 states in this country. I had no idea. First of all, I had no idea. But he was actually pulled over because the tags were bad on the car. They were expired. He wasn't pulled over for being black. He was pulled over because the tags were bad. That's why he was pulled over. But the bullshit that they'll have you believe, you know, because the news media, all they want to do is sensationalize things. It's always been this way. It's, you know, it all goes back. It used to be yellow generalism. Now it's like Schwarze journalism, you know, because a white cop killing a white guy, nobody cares about that. And that happens, you know, that's already happened like 100-something times this year. And we're only in what, April? Right? Now you have, black guys killed by police. And this is unarmed now. You know, unarmed is like 3-4 times for the year. But you're not allowed, you know, we're not allowed. It's because it's only newsworthy, meaning it only gets people upset. It only causes riots or quote unquote protests that turn into riots. Speaking of which, I heard the cop who shot Breonna Taylor, and they're not even sure who shot Breonna Taylor, by the way. They're not 100% sure exactly what shots were the ones that killed her. Because it was law enforcement, they know for sure, but they don't know which cop. Simon and Schultz doesn't want to publish his book. So the idea of getting the other side of the story out there, we're not interested in that. We're not interested in protecting, you know, the free speech for everyone. We only want speech that is palatable. You know? Just like going back with this whole thing with the fucking Major League Baseball. So they take the All-Star game out of a predominantly black community, which would have brought money into that black community for businesses all the way around, right? And they put it into a predominantly white community so that that white community can make all that money, and somehow that's benefiting black people. That's to the benefit of black people. I still don't understand that at all. I mean, like, not even remotely at all. Doesn't make any sense to me. And I think there were also reports this week of one of the major founders of Black Lives Matter. She bought like a couple million hundred dollar mansions. Millions and millions of dollars on mansions. And one of them in like a really white section of Los Angeles. Where she doesn't want the police to be defunded, by the way. What? It doesn't make any sense here. And I still maintain the vast majority of police behavior towards the black community has everything to do with the way the black community has been known to behave. You know, you talk about the idea of young black men afraid of the police. Nobody ever talks about the idea of the police being afraid of young black men. Nobody talks about that, but yet the stats are there. The stats are there. What do we say all the time? 13% of the population, 50% of the violent crime. I haven't used that one in a while. 13% of the population. And we know it's not whole 13%, I say, because you know it's not infants. You know it's not children, right? And you know it's not super old people, right? And it's generally not women, although that's not always the case. So what is it, like really like 7% of the population? Let's be fair. 7-8% of the population? Definitely less than 10% of the population is responsible for 50% of the violent crime. Armed robberies, rapes, shootings. We know this to be true. We know this to be true. This has been true for the longest time. Why? I maintain because black people are, there's something, you know, you talk about the idea of racism, right? It's not even culture. They're just big and strong from toting all those bales. You know, Jimmy the Greek was right, I guess, on that, not for nothing. And they behave violently. They should be sent to Africa. They should be sent, you know, I always like to say they should be sent back to Africa, but they've never actually been to Africa. And this is true. This is true. I actually said that to someone on Twitter not that long ago. You should go back to Africa. And the dude was like, I've never been to Africa. And I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. It's a good point. I'll give you that one, Sambo. Jeez. But yeah, you know what? And it's really fucked up because, you know, I've known a lot of black people over the course of my life. I'm 51 years old now. And I would say proportionately, at least the people I've known, good souls. Absolutely nothing wrong with these people. Absolutely positively nothing wrong with these people. But there is, for whatever reason, and there's some sort of sociological study that needs to be done and maybe not have this buried somewhere at the bottom of a desk drawer, you know, because it's not popular opinion. Because again, what I've been talking about here, none of this is popular opinion. So if it's not popular opinion, it's going to be demonized. And it's not necessarily race. There's something going on. There's 50% of the population, 13% population, and I narrowed that down to, let's say, 8% of the population responsible for 50% of violent crime. There's something wrong there. There's some sort of cause/reason for that being the case. There is. Is it poverty? I don't really know. I'm not 100% sure. You look at the Italians, you look at the Irish. The Irish were pretty much fucking, I told you, I'm a European nigga, motherfucker. My people are from fucking, they're from Ireland and they're from fucking East, they're from fucking Ukraine. That's it, man. You don't get any more fucking black Europe than that, motherfucker. Somehow I do have people, but it's a really small group of people. Yeah, like four or five people. I got people. There's something up with that. I mean, it just doesn't make, and I've done time and time and time again, I sit here, and if you even, this is the thing, we're even at the point now where if you even notice this and pose it as a question, you're a racist. I mean, I don't know, you know what I mean? I don't like the idea of being knuckled under. I don't like the idea of there being things that I can't say. I mean, short of shouting fire in a theater or theater in a fire, depending upon how you look at it. I don't like the idea, And this is why I have an alter ego known as LF Midwood. I can come up here once a week. I say whatever the fuck I want for as long as I want, and that's it. Do I speak like this in my personal life? Only with a few individuals, quite frankly. Because there's only few individuals who are actually mature enough to be able to have these conversations without breaking into blubbery racism bullshit or some sort of liberal fucking stupid fucking platitudes. Because that's what we're getting. We're getting stupid fucking platitudes. Just the mere fact, I want to say one more time, Black Lives Matter has made it perfectly clear they're not interested in black men killing black men, which is the black man's biggest problem. Leading cause of death of black men between 18 and 35 is black men of 18 and 35, between 18 and 35. This is also a fact. A black man is more inclined or more likely to be killed or robbed or some sort of violent crime by another black man than he is by an Asian, or than he is by a white person, or than he is by an Italian. I don't know if the Italians are white. I'm still wondering about that. Anyway, whole other conversation. One word, Morris. Anyway, I don't care to get into that. But it's true. So, let's just go back to what I guess got me started on this little diatribe. These people need to follow directions. It's that simple. That simple. Officer says don't move. It's that simple. And there's no way, I don't think there's any way, that what happened during that incident with Dante Wright could have gone well based upon the behavior of Dante Wright. That's it. The motherfucker would have been lucky if he only got fucking tasered. Quite frankly, he would have been lucky. So it went the other way, and he wasn't so fucking lucky. It's on him. These people are responsible for their own fucking behavior. So anytime that you start to hear stories about the police did this and the police did that and the police did this, look at the bigger picture and look and see if the person didn't do something that caused the police to shift that situation into high gear. Look at it. Believe me, you got this situation with this kid in Chicago, this 13-year-old kid in Chicago who was shot carrying a gun. I've seen the video of that. Looked like that, not for nothing. There's no reason why a police officer should have to take the chance of getting shot for one of these pieces of shit. The police officer should have a pretty good chance of going home at the end of shift and having dinner with his fucking family. There's no reason why the police officer shouldn't have the right to be able to protect himself. And if that means that it looks like someone was going to kill me and I killed them first, then so be it. Then so fucking be it. I don't understand. I really don't understand why police officers should have to put their lives in danger to give the bad guy the benefit of the doubt. Well, maybe he doesn't have a gun. Maybe he's not going to shoot me. Whoops. Seriously. How many officers? I don't even know how many officers we have dead from the beginning of the year who have died in the line of duty. I don't even know. But I'm sure it's a good number. And I'm sure it's more than black men who have been killed at the hands of police, armed black men, I might add, who have been killed at the hands of police. I'm sure it's more than that. But we don't talk about that. That's not cool. It's not cool to care about the police. It's not cool to give the police the benefit of the doubt. Because even in bad situations where it's a bad cop, and sure, there are bad cops. Man, you stop and think about it. There might even be more law enforcement people than there are people working for the post office. And the post office is the largest civilian employer in the United States, as far as I know, or at least they used to be. So when you think about the number of police out there, whether it be sheriffs and whatever, you know, big cities, there's millions and millions and millions and millions, there's a million cops, a million and a half, 2 million cops, all together, all of them all together, right? And there's like, what, 100, 150 that are bad, 200 that are bad? Look at those numbers. But we're going to paint all police officers with the same brush. And believe me, man, you know my history. You know, I shouldn't really have any sympathy for law enforcement whatsoever at all. And I do. Because as bad as it is in the places where I have lived and currently lived, it would be that much worse if it weren't for the police. And I know that to be true. And I just want to live in peace, man. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to have to deal with anybody else's bullshit. And I don't want anybody else to have to deal with my bullshit. again, the Midwood Files, this is something that you choose to subject yourself to. Nothing stopping you from doing something else, whatever you do at this point in the week, wherever you listen to this during the week when you download it. There's nothing. There's nobody's putting a gun. Nobody's putting a gun to your head, as they say. Oh, the Red Bull. Hang on. But this vilification of the police over and over and over and over again is just too much, man. It's just positively, absolutely too much. You know, we're gearing up. I think there have been protests other places. Have there? Let me check the news. I don't even know what's going on. Okay, I got a loan this thing. I can't even look at the news until I do this. Okay, put this here. Okay. Seventh night. So it's the seventh night of protests in Minnesota. And I think there were protests in D.C. As well. Let's see. This is what happens when you don't screen stuff. Man killed by Portland police officers in Lent Park identified. I don't know who that is. I didn't hear about that. Stuff sweeps in here very, 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 very slowly. We had two homicides in Providence, like back-to-back nights, which is like, wow. Big honking deal. But I think it's 7 nights. I think it's a week. And I think it's spread a little bit. You know, and things are getting warmer. You know, these subtropical types, you know, they're more likely to, I'm such a fucktard. they're more likely to come out of their huts in the summertime. You know, unga bunga bunga in the bunga bunga bunga. We know that to be true, right? I don't know. And do they even show those anymore? Do they even show those Bugs Bunny cartoons with the little native guy, you know, with the bone through his nose? You know, when Bugs was taking the hot air balloon thing. Did I show stuff like that? Did I? I don't even know what these kids are watching. I keep threatening to get the boomerang and get some of those old cartoons, but I don't think it's going to be that stuff. It'll probably be like Chuck Jones stuff forward, which I can live with, you know. Jones, who also did Tom and Jerry and a lot of the Roadrunner stuff. So I couldn't even tell you. But again, I have the opinions that I have for a particular reason. It's not my first rodeo. I've lived in inner city for the vast majority of my life. I've lived in good neighborhoods. I've lived in bad neighborhoods. I've lived in pretty much everything in between. I went to a New York City public school system, which is thoroughly integrated, as some of you may be aware of. Even in workplace, I've worked in environments where I was the minority. I've worked in environments where I was in the majority. None of what I say comes from ignorance. Ignorance meaning lack of information or actual real-world experience. You can disagree with what I'm saying. You could not like what I'm saying. But at the same token, you have to understand that there is at least a level of validity to what I'm saying. And again, that goes back to I'm going to say 13% of the population. What's up with that? What's going on with that? There's something seriously wrong here. You know, there's some sort of violent element to the black man's existence, you know, in his DNA makeup or whatever, maybe from chasing the gazelle around or the antelope or whatever that, I don't know. I don't really know. They was Kangs, so I don't really know. I'm not really sure. I couldn't tell you. But there's something going on there. There's something going on there. And that, I think, is what will help prevent crime, because people will understand it's like, oh, as a black person, they might go off on me. Oh, okay. I mean, more likely than, say, the Hasidic Jew. You know what I'm saying? I walked down the streets when I was in Borough Park, and I walked down the streets. The Hasidic Jews standing on the corner, they didn't bother me. You know, they literally didn't bother me, and it didn't bother me that they were there. They didn't scare me. They don't have a reputation of being violent, you know, of beating me to death with a 40-ounce bottle. It wasn't going to happen. But black men, young black men, well, this becomes a different story. this becomes a different story. And it's sad because it's not all black people. It's only a certain, and maybe that, maybe there's some sort of gene that is specific to certain black people. See, that would explain things to a certain degree. Because I, you know, I feel bad sitting here and engaging in wide generalizations and such, you know, because I generally don't like to do that. I'm not a big fan of doing that. So maybe there's some sort of gene that they can do some sort of genie, you know, some sort of testing and have some sort of test to figure out if a particular young black man is going to have a propensity for violence. That would be great. That would be great, don't you think? We need to know. We need to have the 411. You understand? I don't know. And again, I get to feel like a dick. You know, I get to feel like the bad guy, you know, because I'm talking about the elephant, the black elephant in the room. Well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm just supposed to ignore these facts. I'm just, you know, although if the liberals, they just ignore these facts. Well, that's not true. No. No, it's not true. What do you mean? No. Just like Dante Wright was killed for having an air freshener in his car. Okay. You're a fucking moron to believe that. This is the thing. This is really, as the thing that happened as I've gotten older, is I've become more and more amazed with how stupid people really are. Like they'll hear something. They'll hear, it's like CNN will say something, and it's like, well, obviously that's what happened. You know, when the news is creating, you know, and this is you could say the same of, I guess you could say the same of Fox, who's become more and more liberal, unfortunately, and of just of the news media in general, they've become more and more in control, and therefore creating the narrative that you and I get to hear. This is why we think what we think. I mean, we don't live in vacuums. We have to somehow absorb things through. You know, most people aren't going to read 27 versions of the same story. They're not going to go to 5 or 6 different news sites. They're going to go to where they go because that's where they go, and that's it. So they're going to believe that this kid, 20 years old, was killed because he had an air freshener in his fucking car. He was pulled over because he was black, and then they found the reason because there's the air freshener. He's an air freshener, and the dude's got an air freshener, and they shot him. They're going to believe that this woman officer of 26 years decided to get up that morning and she was going to kill herself a nigger. Wasn't even the whole nigger, it was half nigger. You don't even get the full points. You know what I mean? You get only certain points, you know, lesser points. Anyway, that's what she decided. It's killing me a nigger today. That's what all these officers have decided to do when they get up in the morning. They get up in the morning and that morning they say, I'm killing me a fucking nigger. And people believe that. And people fucking believe that. Me, I look at it as that police officer wakes up that morning and promises his wife he's coming home. Promises his kids he's coming home. And if that means that somebody made a move that didn't look like it was going to result in injury, or it looked like it was going to result in an injury to me, I was going to shoot them. I was going to shoot them first. I was going to shoot them before they shot me. That's what I believe. Because there's a whole other different way to go killing people if you want to go killing people these days. We've been at war for 20 fucking years. Whole bunch of ways to go killing people on a regular basis. Hell, you could start robbing people. You could dress as a black man and rob and kill people. 13% of the population. Seriously. The fuck is wrong with these people? That's great. That's great. That's it. That's it right there. That sums up the whole show. What the fuck is wrong with these people? I don't know. Do you know? Guess maybe we'll never know. But the point, you can't believe the liberals. You can't believe. You doubt what the conservatives tell you, but don't ever believe a liberal. Don't ever believe a fucking liberal. Finished, done with Dover. All I want out of life, I want to move. I want to get some weed every now and then. I just want to fucking get a little exercise, change my diet, start reading the books a little bit more. You know what I mean? I just want to get away from this insanity. That's what I want. I want to get out of the inner city. I don't want to be anywhere near the inner city. I want to be so far away from the inner city that I can't even hear the sirens no more. Nope. That's what I want. Because I can't take it. I'm getting old. Honestly. It's enough. I paid my dues. I lived in an inner city. I lived in jail. I lived in prison. All 9 yards. I know what these things are. No. I'm finished. Done. Think. Retired. I'm retired from the human race. I'm retiring. Yes, I am. All right. Anyway. Let me see. Is there anything else that I wanted? I didn't have any list of notes or anything. I think, let me head over to, okay, my website's right here. I'm going to do my plugs, and then I'm going to get out of here because I want to finish watching, I think I have the last two Sarah Jane Chronicles left. I don't want to watch those in peace. So head over to lfmidwood.com. That'll get you, that's the home, the internet home of the Midwood Files. Yeah, I like the way that sounds. There's stuff up there. If you go top of the page, you'll see the links. There's 11 on R&I. That'll take you over to John Lightning's page. Lots of fun stuff over there. John Lightning Archives, Dave the Boogeyman Archives, Big Steve Cole in Memoriam Archives, Elf Midwood Archives, lots of archives. If you head over all the way to the right, I think you'll find the home of our good friend Brad Reed and his lovely wife, Valerie. Yeah. Over at Grits Radio, I believe that link takes you over to Brad's 24/7 stream. I know it's not all live, but I know there's programming added weekly. I believe that's how that works. Never had a conversation. Just said he's running the show. I'm like, all right, cool. And I hope he continues to do so. I hope that is, whatever his mental illness is, continues to persist. That being the case, let's see. You got the, you got my social media, Take the Red Pill. Head over there. I have not been super active on social media as of late. I keep waiting to drop into gear, and I just have not done it. But I plan on doing it sometime soon, becoming a little bit more active. Under that, you'll find my favorites. Those are links that I usually hit, if not daily, at least a couple times a week. Oftentimes, that's where I'm collecting a lot of my news from, or what passes for news, all that fake news that Midwood talks about, the fake news. what else is there? I think that's it. So thanks for imbibing in any fashion that you have. Remember, tell your friends about the show because it's the only way we're going to grow an audience. Either that or we should get it piped into trans-Allegheny lunatic asylums all across the nation. Just get it piped in, you know, over the PA system. You know, DC Current Radio, is that what they call that? Yeah. Anyway, it's been fun. I have to do this, and then I'm going to play my clothes, and I'm going to go away. So I have to do that. It says thank you. Okay, and I have to hit this over here, and we're gone.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.